We're going to return to Kobo Center for just a couple of moments. When I was there a couple of days ago, I caught up with somebody that we spoke to last year at the show. We had so much fun talking to Brett Burke that we decided to talk to him again. Brett Burke is a blogger for Vanity Fair, the self-described gay car blogger at Vanity Fair. His blog is called Stick Shift. And one of the things he's really looking at this year is there room for ultra-luxury in this down economy? Is it something that's still fashionable, something that still works for people? Well, I talked to Brett just a couple of days ago, and we did the interview sitting inside a brand new Bentley that is on display at the auto show.
Yeah, Bentley is actually one of the only ultra high-end, ultra-luxury marks, if not the only one, that's showing on the main floor at Kobo this year. There's a special gallery that over at the MGM casino where they're showing some of the other ultra luxury vehicles are showing to high net worth individuals and by invitation and by appointment.
So what is it about this? I mean, this is just a display of wealth that many people are uncomfortable with in this day and age. In fact, I had a jeweler on my program just a couple of weeks ago that's going out of business after 90 years because they said, "Hey, bling is out."
I think that is, you know, there's certain truth to that statement. I'm not sure if it's entirely out for everyone, though. I think there'll always be those people who really want, you know, the best of the best, and you know, however it's available, and are, you know, just sort of willing to flaunt it, even in the economic situation in which we're in.
Well, you know, what is it about this car? I mean, you're here at the auto show. You talk about cars, and there are a number of luxury cars, but when you sit in something like this, this is a different level entirely.
Yeah. Well, in this car, I wish you could see on the radio, but you can't. It's all, pretty much every single thing that you see is leather, wood, or chrome or aluminum. And as they like to say about this car, you know, anything that you see that looks like wood is wood. Anything that you see that looks like leather is leather. And so it's like an ultimate luxurious environment. It's all custom made to the customer's specifications. You don't buy a Bentley. I think you order, you know, you custom order it. You design it yourself, pretty much. So there's, you know, tons of choices in terms of what kind of leather you want and what kind of wood veneer you want and what colors and what kinds of trims, and they'll pretty much do whatever you want to your specifications.
Is there still a market for this in this day and age? I mean, obviously there's always going to be people with money, some people with money, but there is a bit of a move against conspicuous consumption. But, you know, if you've got this kind of money, can you help but show it off?
That's a really good question. I think, you know, I was talking to some of the folks from some of the ultra luxury manufacturers yesterday, and sales in that category are off by half. You know, 50% in the United States over what they were last year, the year before. So they've taken a really big hit in that respect. And I think, you know, that I think that there is a movement in some ways away from some of that. Maybe people who were reaching a little bit, you know, outside of their comfort zone in terms of buying things that maybe were a little bit beyond their means. I think there's definitely a movement away from that. I think that it'll be interesting to see how it plays out with the super rich, you know, if they're willing to spend. I think one of the things that we're seeing in the ultra luxury arena is just much more reserved styling. So you can't see this car again, but it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, and every detail.
There's nothing reserved about this vehicle.
If you look at it from the outside, it's
my old K car was reserved.
All right, you're right. It's a little bit flashy, but it's an understated flashiness.
So a move away from the nouveau flash back to sort of the old money, blue blood kind of look.
Old school wealth. So I think that might be part of a trend that we're seeing.
So when you come to Detroit, this is your hometown. You don't live here now, but you come back for the auto show. And what is it you're looking for here this year?
Here at the show?
Yeah.
I am looking at a few different things. So I'm looking at the sort of the ultra luxury market, how that's working. I'm doing a feature on in-dash infotainment. There's been a lot of talk recently about you know, new systems that are being brought into the car.
If I'm not mistaken, you're suggesting that they're trying to kill us.
Yes, exactly. The piece is going to be called "Is Your In-Dash Infotainment System Trying to Kill You?" And we're going to be looking at
it's going to be like 2001.
Right.
I can't do that, Dave.
9 or 10 different manufacturers and sort of what they're doing, what they're bringing in to the car these days. You know, because like everything, we want our vehicles now to be a full-on entertainment experience. And so what's being brought into vehicles and then what they're doing in order to try to, you know, to prevent us from essentially driving into each other while we're sending text messages or downloading movies or something like that to our in-dash screen.
Brett Burke, our guest on the Craig Folly Show, of course. He is the blogger at Vanity Fair, the automotive blogger. Stick Shift is the name of the blog. And, you know, when we talk about sort of, you know, these ultra-luxury cars, they've been taking a hit. And more people, it's almost becoming fashionable to sort of downsize a little bit. Are you seeing the auto companies responding to that, these smaller cars? They can't just be econo boxes anymore, can they?
Yeah, no, I like to say in my column, I say quite often, you know, that downsizing is the new upscale. So I think we're definitely seeing a big move toward, you know, a higher premium, smaller vehicles in this country, which, you know, Americans have had some resistance to in the past, but a lot of the manufacturers are bringing over some of their smaller cars, especially European and Japanese manufacturers are bringing over some of their more premium smaller cars, and I think we're gonna definitely see that as a trend.
So are SUVs almost like fur coats these days? Where you're saying, you know, you better be careful. Somebody's going to dump some blood on you.
Yeah. I think that I've never been a huge SUV fan personally. So
being in New York, it's kind of difficult.
Yes, exactly. That said, I do own a 1972 Suburban, but that stays up at my house in the country. It's not a vehicle that most people need. I was working on a piece recently about trying to get parents, moms in particular, to recognize that get them out of their SUVs and back into some station wagons like the way we used to rock it.
Yeah, well, you can't just throw everybody in the back anymore like you used to with that. Unfortunately,
They have seatbelts in the back now.
Yeah, sometimes they do. But you know, the anti-SUV forces, do they buy the whole concept of the crossover?
I think that we're seeing more of that. I think that there's a number of crossover vehicles that are out there that serve, you know, just as well for the needs of people who are in SUVs, and you know, it's an acceptable option, I think, for some people, sort of to get people to move in that direction.
Well, you know, on your huge journalist salary, would you buy this if you could?
This Bentley?
This would be a telling answer.
Yeah, I think it would be a telling answer. I don't know. Maybe lease?
I'm just kidding. I don't
you
know,
always return it if
right.
you
if
have some
eggs at me or whatever. I had a Bentley for a week as a press car to test drive it, and my partner was like, "Oh, we can't be driving around in that or whatever. That's people are going to throw eggs at us." And then he got in the car, and yeah, you know, he actually loved it. So,
well, Brett, I have to ask that you're in New York all the time. Is this the type of a situation we're in right now with the economy that, you know, bankers are eschewing the private drivers and not getting out of the back seat of a Bentley like this one as they pull up to their office on, you know, Fifth Avenue?
Yeah, I think it doesn't look so good. Yeah, I went to pick up a friend of mine who works in publishing in the magazine industry, and there had been a bunch of layoffs at his spot that week when I went and picked him up in the Bentley, and his boss was in the elevator right behind him, and he was running to get in the car so that his boss wouldn't see him getting into it or whatever, and none of his other coworkers would see him getting into it. But I think, yeah, I think there is an image issue for some people in terms of a vehicle like this. It sends a certain message that they may not want to send. But you know, if you look at it from a purely objective standpoint, it's simply a gorgeous car. And you know, if you can do it, I don't know if automobilism, if we have moral judgments to make about something like that or not. Maybe we do.
Well, Brett, we certainly appreciate your time once again. Thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Brett Burke is a Detroit native, a lifelong car nut, and also the author of Stick Shift, the gay car blog in Vanity Fair. He's also written a book, The Gay Uncle's Guide to Parenting, and he joined us on the Craig Folly Show here on WDET. Of course, we did that interview inside a Bentley that is on display down there at Cobo Center.